Welcome to the official podcast of A Conscious Partner. Our initiative is bringing affordable access to relevant information for anyone in search of impactful self-development. ACP specializes in hosting growth workshops, which bring awareness to the most important topics in life. It's a place for everyone and anyone to come together with the goal of gradually culminating our own security in a fun, safe environment. And now with our hosts, Bruce Doherty, Jaggy, and Dr. Giselle Tennant, let's get into today's discussion.
Welcome back.
Hello, everyone. Hi, we are back.
Yes, we are.
You just peeked on the old sound meter.
Yeah, it's fine. They're welcomed.
So, yeah, how are we doing today? It is Friday. Podcast day.
Yeah, it's podcast day. Looking forward to this episode. Should be a good one. Hopefully you guys like this one.
Yeah, because it's holiday season, isn't it?
Yes, it is holiday season.
Talk about that.
The fun holidays.
The fun holidays. Or the dreaded holidays.
Or the stressful holidays.
A lot of people have holiday stress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a real trigger, actually. That's one of the top, I think, five or six.
It's definitely a trigger for people, yes.
Triggers is holidays.
Yeah. And I think for a number of reasons. And I think one of the reasons that people feel like they have expectations, mm-hmm. or society puts expectations on them. What should they do during the holidays? How many gifts should they buy?
Yeah.
Spending time with family, all of those things.
Yeah, or the perfect Christmas tree, or the perfect Christmas decorations, or like the need to have to go buy all this stuff to...
Keeping up with the Joneses sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about everything. Everybody focuses on the family, everything. But what if you don't have a lot of family? Mm-hmm. What if you don't get along with your family? What if you don't... Do you feel like
your family's away.
You feel like a lesser than.
Well, yeah, isn't this like the season that's prone to, I don't know, suicide?
Well, it's...
Or is that right after Christmas?
There's definitely some depression, right? People feeling blue and then feeling all that pressure, everything kind of, you know, it's like closing in on you.
Yeah.
And especially, for example, for me, my family's not here, right? My children are not here. And people always ask, well, what are you doing during the holidays? Or they feel, almost kind of feel sorry for you. I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, what do you do?
You know, like I spend time sometimes with friends.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of times where I was by myself on Christmas Day and it was fine. Right? Yeah. Like, you know, there's phone calls and other things and I chose to be by myself and it was fine.
100%.
Right? Yeah. Like we don't have to travel to be because I'm...
Well, I mean, technically last year we weren't even allowed to have one. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because of the vid.
Yeah.
the vid. That's what we call it now. The vid.
Yes.
The vid. Are we supposed to be wearing masks? Come to think of it. I don't know if we are or not. Theoretically?
6 feet?
Theoretically.
Sure.
It's probably not 6 feet, but
it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yeah, it's how comfortable we feel.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And with, so yeah.
Or do we have to say this event was recorded previous to COVID rules?
But let's not turn this into a COVID.
I only brought it up because, like, last year we technically weren't allowed to have one, right? And it's like, no, you're not allowed to.
Yeah. So. And actually, last year I spent it with my daughter and my son-in-law while they came over for part of the day. But and then again, with traditions, right? Do you let's say you're in a new relationship and you want to start your own tradition, but now it's like, well, when do we go to my parents? When do we go to your parents? Is it, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? They want us here but we want to spend our Christmas together and do our things.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of pressure.
Oh, it's a super lot of pressure. I know that at one point, not in my current relationship, my last relationship, both parents were divorced on both sides. So then it was four Christmases that we had to figure out how to freaking like, it was just like, I don't want to go to any of these places. I mean, I do, but I also don't because it's
you don't
like,
want the stress of having to book it and having to go and have to.
And the question is, why don't the parents come and visit where you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I know for me, and I don't know, I'm assuming you appreciated it. I just said, whenever you fit me in is fine. Don't just go visit everybody else and whatever works is good for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course that makes it easier.
Yeah. Because, so many people go, no, we're having dinner at 4 o'clock and you have to be here for 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I expect you to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to stay for this long.
Yeah.
Whereas, what about traveling and the roads and the...
Well, trying to drive around everywhere on Christmas and Christmas Eve with like snow and, I don't know. It's just... That's a lot of your day just in a car trying to get to different places to meet everyone else's expectation.
Yeah.
That's right. I know some of our listeners are saying, well, but I live in California and I don't have snow, but there's always other issues.
Right.
There's traffic in California.
Yeah, there's traffic.
I've been in California traffic.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Yeah, no, there's always something. So we're imposing on ourselves, you know, whether or not we want to respond to those, you know, whether or not we feel like, okay, it's an expectation of mm-hmm. society. So I'm going to be a bad person if I don't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to.
So it's an extra pressure we're putting on ourselves.
Yeah, they do. Society does frown on us if we say, mm-hmm. you know what, I don't really want to visit.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go and have these interactions with some mm-hmm. of these relatives.
Well, and then those relatives might take it personally. Like, well, why aren't they here? This is time for family.
That's right. It's like, and 364 days
yeah.
a year, they don't talk to you, but they expect you to be there, on Christmas or Hanukkah
or whatever
the holiday is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
But yeah,
or when people ask you, well, are you ready for Christmas? Have you done all your Christmas shopping? That's a pressure.
And
you
want
to say to them, no, we don't exchange gifts. Or,
yeah.
you know, it's just a
I make gift my own
of
gifts.
Being the family. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of along the lines of what I'm going to do this year. Because mm-hmm. it's just like, I don't know. Supposedly there's shortages anyway. So why not just make all my stuff
yeah.
and give it to
and
people
And having
I
the
love.
Pleasure of making it.
It's more heartfelt.
Yeah, it would be nice if these holidays would get away from the commercial aspect. Of
right.
mm-hmm. how much money do you have to spend?
Yes.
How much do you have to buy?
Versus going back to the core mm-hmm. element of just like being connected yeah. and enjoying the people that you're around and mm-hmm. like that kind of thing.
Playing board games. I think sometimes people attach their value to the gift that they give. Right. So now it's like, well, if I spend this much money, it shows that, you know, instead of being able to talk about your emotions, how you feel about the person, I'm going to buy a really expensive gift, whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. Right. But they'll see how much money I spend on them.
Well, that goes back to the Big Bang Theory. Remember that episode?
Oh, yes.
Which episode?
Well, yes, Sheldon and episode. Penny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Penny tells Sheldon, or they drew each other's names in the gift exchange on Big Bang Theory. And so Sheldon knows that Penny's going to get him a gift.
Right.
And for him, he's very logical and he wants to make sure it's of equal value.
Oh.
So he doesn't know what he's going to get.
Right.
So what he does is he goes and buys 10 different gift baskets.
Oh my gosh.
One of, you know, let's say a $20, one a $40, one an $80, all these different ranges.
Yeah.
And Leonard's looking at him going, well, which one are you going to give her? He says, well, I'm going to get her gift, open it.
And then
once it has value to it, I'll excuse myself to the bedroom, go get her gift, and then give her gift.
Yeah.
And so he thinks he's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But she hands him his gift in the morning, and it turns out it was a napkin. But it had Leonard Nimoy's
signature on it.
No, signature. And it also, he wiped his mouth with it. So it had Leonard Nimoy's DNA on it. And
so
he went, oh my God, I could make my own Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, my own spot.
Yeah,
right?
And then Penny goes, look, all I'm giving you is the napkin. That's all you get.
Yeah.
But this is kind of proves the point.
Yeah.
Is that the cost of that was zero.
Yeah.
And he went into the bedroom and he brought every basket mm-hmm. and brought it out to her.
Yeah.
And then I forget, she made some kind of comment and he thought, you mean that's not enough?
Yeah.
So he actually leaned in and gave her a hug, which he's never done ever.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
But that shows you the value of something that's thoughtful
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just the value of something you buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
100%.
Yes.
I mean, it goes a long way.
Mm.
100%.
So I think that those gifts that you make, people will appreciate them.
Yeah.
Right? There's a thought behind
it. There is thought behind
them. Yeah.
And maybe it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the sense of like, okay, well, my artistic style might not be for everyone. But like, again, it's the thought that counts, right?
Yeah.
It's like.
No, but it's getting something for somebody that means something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the right book or the right.
Yeah.
The right thought behind something that they noticed a year ago.
Yeah.
Something like, that means something
I
to
saw
them.
Something which I thought, it surprised me. It was one of those neighborhood things and someone had posted, well, I have two kids that age and I don't know what to give them for Christmas.
And I feel like kids are super easy.
But they were asking the opinion of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, don't you know your kids? And someone replied, well, I like to give my kids experiences instead of gifts, which was a really good answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But I think, why would you want to ask a stranger, what should I give my 10-year-old?
Like
they wanted to know what was trendy.
Is your 10-year-old an athlete?
I know.
Or is your 10-year-old a musician?
Wanted to know what was trendy.
Maybe that kind of brings us into our next topic where like personality types and the holidays. Like, I don't know if you don't know your child or friend or whatever, mm-hmm. is that a personality type issue? Is that because you just don't understand them enough to know what they would want?
You don't know what they will appreciate. You're not paying attention. Yeah. Because you should, if they're a good friend or family, you should know what they will appreciate.
Right. Because they're going to be like, oh, I like this. I like that kind of stuff.
I mean, some people may like experiences. Some people may like, you know, give me something that I can make.
Right. Like so hands-on maybe it's a project or hands-on. Something.
It could be maybe a book. Mm-hmm. My dad would used to give me a book every Christmas. And I remember the book that I really liked was the one that he actually wrote something in it.
Yeah.
It was just a book. And I thought, and it wasn't so much about the book. It was just about the note.
Right.
That he wrote. Because I thought he took the time to write a note.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So,
right. Now I know I'm getting Giselle for Christmas.
You're getting me something with a note in it.
Saying, here's your book.
Here's your book.
Enjoy.
Here's your book. Here's my writing. Have a great Christmas. Bruce.
That's all funny. Good. Or how about Christmas cards or holiday cards?
I like cards. I think cards are nice, especially when they're like, but I like it when they're written in, you know, when people just, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with just a card with a name on it, because maybe the card itself is saying something, but like,
but even a handwritten note. Yeah, a little handwritten note, even if there's a little text in it, but something that's
to personalize it
is good. I
think it's nice.
Yeah. But I don't think people do that anymore because, well, you could, I think people do a lot of electronic cards, right? Like those e-cards that you can get. But there's something about getting something in the mail.
The physical presence of it. I don't know. There's freaking energy in it.
Yeah.
You can feel it. I don't know. I mean, you're probably like, there's no energy in that card, but
I agree with you.
I agree 100%. A handwritten card is worth 10 times more than anything electronic or anything.
Because even when you say thank you to someone, a note that's handwritten as opposed to, you know, just a card that says thank you and you sign your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, so let's get into the nitty gritty. So gift giving is one thing that we can, you know.
We can what?
I don't know.
Agree
that.
That is less valuable?
It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Like this holiday season should be more about the connection and like connecting with the people that we care about and getting past, even if it was like with family that you don't necessarily like or people that you have problems with, like this is the time to, you know, have forgiveness or to practice forgiveness or practice that love and sharing.
And gratitude.
And gratitude.
What you have instead of what you don't have.
Yeah.
Right?
But a lot of people, and this is always a question. Like, wait, it's the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel guilty because you don't connect with those family members? Or like, is it a time to reach out? Even though they're toxic in your life.
I agree. If they're toxic.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be in your life.
Yeah, they shouldn't be in your life. And just because it's the holidays, it's not a reason to reach out. I mean, if you have not reached out before, why now?
Yeah.
Right?
But again, maybe there was, if maybe they were toxic or maybe they weren't toxic or like maybe there was a misunderstanding from the past and you're finally at a point in your life where you can actually, you know, you've done your work. You can, you know, even just reaching out that apology or if that's what it is and just.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for your side in the situation, not expecting anything in return, just, you know, offering that olive branch to a degree or just, you know.
That can work.
I don't know. It's not necessary.
It's not necessary, but if people are toxic in your life, doesn't matter whether it's family, friends, then they shouldn't be in your life.
Right? Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it's a difficult time. Mm-hmm. And so many people are in that situation where there's people in their lives, like whether it's parents or siblings or children or whatever, where they're estranged, and it's the holidays is when that guilt comes, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's when you feel guilty for stuff like that. And society makes you feel guilty, which is unfair.
Well.
Not that anybody can make you feel guilty.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. Like,
you feel guilty because there's so much pressure from society.
Yes. Pressure to, we need to have this big, perfect family. Yeah. We need to have this and that. Yeah. Like, but that's not reality. Yeah. Like,
no.
Reality is whatever your reality is. And
that's right. Whatever you live in. And how many people after the holidays will say, oh, I'm so glad it's over. And
so many people.
It shouldn't be like that.
No, it shouldn't.
Right? You shouldn't be. It would be like, oh, I'm so grateful that I spent time with family. Yeah. Instead, it's like, oh, okay. I'm so glad it's over. And now I've got about, you know, over 300 some days before it starts all over again.
All over again.
Right? Yeah.
Well, especially if it went bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of those things do go bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially nowadays with like the
politics,
climate. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's
like
very divisive.
There's
divisive,
a lot right? of yeah. If yes. there's could be those conversations that come yeah. up that yeah. are just going to not go well.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. How do you have a conversation with someone who has a different opinion than you?
Well, we
you know who's trying to change your opinion.
This last week, and I forget what event it was. I brought that in to the event. It was about, I don't know why I forget what event it was, but we had to have a conversation. And so right at the end, I threw in, can you, have a conversation with somebody without getting defensive and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. having a proper conversation. And I brought in the COVID, the vaccine mandates. And and so person A said, you know, vaccines are vital. And person B said vaccines are pointless. Mm-hmm. Okay, go. And everybody in the event just froze.
And they didn't want to?
I said, we should be able to have this yeah. conversation. And and it's okay. And then we got talking about it. Ended up taking about 45 minutes on both of them. I ran way over time on both because the people kept talking. And nobody wanted to kind of play their cards mm-hmm. first, of course.
Right. No one wants and to be vulnerable
then,
first.
And then finally, one person said, well, I'm this way. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the other side. Mm-hmm.
But that's polarity. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's and we right. can't be polarized.
You have to be able to listen. Were they listening to each other, though?
Well, no, but know? She just said this. She said yeah. it out loud. And then I said, okay, that's a great point to start at.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I said, okay. So, and I said her name. I said, I want you to argue the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And then she says, yes. I can't argue the other side. And I said, well,
that's because you're not listening.
I said, you're not, then you need to argue the mm-hmm. other side because there is another point of view here mm-hmm. and argue that side first.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really just about people want to be listened to. They want to be heard.
They want to be validated.
So they want to be valid. So you want to listen to them and say, okay, so this is what I'm hearing you say about mm-hmm. this particular topic. This is how you feel about yeah. it. You have some emotions attached yeah. to it. And that's okay. Now, I can think differently than mm-hmm. yours, but I'm not going to try to change your yes. opinion. I'm not going to try to tell you I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong, that's like, because that's not, you know, and I think that's the problem. We're trying to get, we want to change people's opinions.
Right, but that's not the point.
It's not the point.
So like in the Just We, well, there's two things. The first one is that guy who talks about having that the therapeutic conversation. Like when you're having a conversation mm-hmm. with someone, the goal is to technically learn something new, yeah. right? Yes. What's the point of having a conversation yes. with anyone yeah. if we're mm-hmm. not trying to yearn for something more? Mm-hmm. So like if they have a different opinion than you, it's like, oh my God, you think differently. Okay, exactly. Let me find out yes. more. Let me, mm-hmm. what discover. Do you know that
Be
I don't know?
Curious about
exactly.
it. Yes.
And then the second thing is like in Just We Talk, and the or can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
I think it's that one. But there's that lady who gives the advice on how to be able. Maybe it was Curious or Defensive. I don't remember. But she gives us advice on how to actually have that conversation. And the whole conversation is about like validate, yes. like listen to what they're saying, mm-hmm. validate their point, and then okay. I get that makes sense. I understand where you're coming yeah. from. I think it's yeah. totally valid what you're saying. This is what I think that might be. And then again, it's on the other person to then validate mm-hmm. the same way. Because it's about choosing to understand yes. and being on the same. That's the only way that a conversation is going to happen.
Yeah. And I think that what they found is that if you're talking to someone and you're validating their emotions about it.
Yes.
And don't go at it on an intellectual point of view, because sometimes it doesn't work.
But that's where the different personalities come in.
Yes.
Because for me, you want to come at it from the logical yeah. perspective. Yeah. For Caitlin, you want to come at it from the emotional perspective.
Yeah. But this is the thing though, for the person that you come at it from the intellectual perspective, like if we're logical, right, mm-hmm. like in our personality, we won't care. We won't yes. care whether or not the person thinks the same way as us. It's like, okay, fine. That's your opinion. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm more like a feeler person,
but just a second.
It's
what I do
matter.
Care about yeah. though is whether you're talking logically about your feelings.
I know, but
that's the problem.
But what we need to understand. Yeah, I understand that, right? Because mm-hmm. as a logical person, this mm-hmm. is what I would want the person to, and then I have to realize, okay, but they're not like that.
Because they're not going.
But that's where we run into trouble.
Exactly.
Is you're busy going, I'm emotional. I don't want. Like you're taking an emotional perspective, as in if we're talking about vaccines and COVID and all this, is mm-hmm. I want my parents to be safe. I want this mm-hmm. to be safe, and you're making them, but that's not logical for say somebody's Caitlin's age, right? Yeah, it doesn't account for that.
So it's more the fact part of it, right? But those people still have emotions. So at least if they feel like we understand their emotions, we don't agree with it. We're not saying that it's right or wrong, but it's like, okay, now I understand where you're coming from, but it doesn't mean that I agree with you.
But we do have common ground, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody in the COVID debate is, okay, should everybody over 75? Well, I don't know anybody on, even on the anti side that would say everybody over 75 shouldn't be vaccinated, right?
I think it makes sense for the vulnerable population to be vaccinated.
And that's the point. You have to find that common ground. Where do we agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the common ground, though, is like the people that are having the fights in this regard. It's like they're fighting because they just want what's best. So like it's they both want what's the healthiest, the best choice. They want to protect their family and it's just choosing different options. So like the common ground is, okay, we're both choosing to be safe. Our ways of doing it are different, and that's okay.
And that's where we get into trouble is then you get the fear mongering. But let's get back. I want to make sure we're staying on the topic of the holidays. How do you? And this is about how do you have a conversation with your family that is going to be politically divided? Is that's where we're coming from, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think,
and so our key has to be you've got to go. You don't have to stand your ground on your position.
No.
Find the common ground first. And if anything, argue the other person's position first.
Yes.
Yeah. So argue it for them. Argue it better for them.
It's going to help you understand.
Before you have a conversation, just say, okay, I know you're on the other side. Yeah. I want to argue your point for you. And that's going to be hard for some people to do.
Yeah.
But if you cannot argue the other side,
then you're not
neutral. Then your mind is not open.
And especially if the other side, it kind of makes sense. Like, I mean, there are certain things because some of our listeners might say that, you know, some people who say it doesn't exist at all, if we're looking at that topic, right? Mm-hmm. The vid.
Yeah.
The vid. If it doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
Now we're into, you know, a different kind of world, but we just accept this is your opinion.
But
let's look at that though. Somebody could say it doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
I want to know why you think it doesn't exist at all.
Because I'm interested. Maybe it doesn't exist. I don't freaking know.
Yeah. Because theoretically it's invisible.
We can't see it.
Yeah.
But that person, how would they think? They would probably go, okay, well, how come the flu is gone?
Yeah.
Like, where'd the flu go? That's what somebody would argue, right?
Right.
Yeah, they might argue that. Or some people would say, and some people have said, well, show me one person who actually got it. And the thing is like, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Family members, cool, was it? Right? So,
I think it really does come down to with any kind of topic, again, as if you're being polar. Like if you're polarized in your opinion, then something's not right. And you can know that about yourself. If you can look at the other side and be like, there's no way I could ever understand. Okay, well, then you are being polar.
Yeah.
Like it's balance. And both sides are accurate in their own ways. It has to be the middle.
And it makes sense what you're saying. And I think that's, you know, if our viewers can think about that, because they will get into those discussions over the holidays, right? It's like, regardless of what the topic is, are you so... you know, your opinion is such etched in stone that you're not flexible enough to argue the other point, right? To listen to what the person is saying, to say that maybe there's a little bit of truth in what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Be open-minded.
Because usually when we're outright rejecting, it's because there is a little bit of truth that we're not willing to admit.
Yes.
Well, that goes back to if we change our minds, it feels like we've been living a lie for the past X number of months or years.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's because we haven't had an open mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we stand by this position and we take it and we go and we've been fighting and fighting and fighting for it. And then somebody gives us information that might give us input and we go, well, if I accept this information, that means everything I've been fighting for is now wrong.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to
And that's admit. That's the reason we shouldn't take those hard stances on anything, any subject.
Well,
it should just open mind.
I mean, usually when we do, it's because we're in fear or because we're in pain in some way. Like that's if we're that polarized, something else is going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what we don't understand, we fear.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just natural.
Natural that we don't, you know, because there's that. Because we want to survive, right? There's that survival instinct, and it's like, well, I'm not too sure, so now I'm afraid, and I have this opinion and I want to stick with
it. Well, that also goes against our ego.
Purpose,
so our ego. Mm-hmm. Our ego is such a people underestimate how strong it is, right?
Oh my God, our ego rules our life if we aren't aware of it.
Like people, when somebody says something that you have decided to protect with your ego, it's literally like you're being attacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's your ego.
And I mean, attack to the death.
Yes. You're going to want to control protect the narrative and you're going to protect it because you feel you're being attacked. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And literally, there's a couple events we talk about it. And you say when somebody attacks your value, you will kill for it.
Yeah.
Like we kill for our egos.
Yeah. We start wars for our egos.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't get over past shit because of our egos. Right.
Yeah.
The world could be such a peaceful place if everyone just decided to go for forgiveness, let go of their ego and...
Yeah, but the secondary thing is we have to have an ego.
No, but that's like self-preservation as a child, right? Like just like all of us have narcissistic traits. Like we all, like we have to have it to a certain degree, but we don't have to let
it control it. And that's the thing, because we're letting it control our life.
We're not aware of it. We do need it. Yeah. Giving us, it's creating. So it's like, so we think, so we feel, so we act. So it's like the ego is basically putting our thoughts together if we're not like careful of it. Like the ego is the one thing that's telling us, okay, well, you need to be mad or this is going against you. You need to, so it's telling you what we think. So then it's bringing out what we feel and that's how we're acting.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to control your ego, control
and
your thoughts.
The thing is, those thoughts sometimes it's subconscious. Like we don't even realize that we are thinking that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it is. That's the thing. That's the whole thing about becoming conscious and waking up because like we're waking up to the idea. Okay, well, I can actually control my brain. Yeah. I don't have to live under.
Mm-hmm. Time to live in fear.
But to do that, you have to be aware, and I think that's where it takes practice. Yep. You have to be aware of it, and you have to do it every day. Okay, what am I thinking right now? Is it positive? Is it negative? Because in curious or defensive, we start with the icebreaker asking people, you know, do you think having an ego is positive or negative? Right? And people are kind of stumped. They're like, well, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think they were afraid to say, yeah, I have an ego. Yeah. And sometimes it can control me. So it's, sometimes it can be negative. Sometimes it's positive.
But so many people, especially in the conscious world, go, you know, Eckhart Tolle is – like eliminate the ego. If we can take the ego out.
I read his book.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can eliminate it.
Not fully, it's inherently within us. Yeah. It's a part of our makeup.
I think sometimes big headings like that will sell books, right? But the idea behind it is that not let it control you.
Yeah.
Right?
The book is literally just about like releasing it from yourself, essentially, in the way he words things. But yeah, it's not it again. But it goes along with many other things. You can't just release your ego. You have to get rid of like your past. You have to forgive things. You have to like. There's a process in doing it.
But do I want to live in a world full of everybody with no egos or very little ego?
I think it would be a better world.
No, I think I would want to live in a world where people can be in charge of their ego. Like their ego is not controlling them.
Yeah,
I think that's.
But there would be no sports.
Well,
I want you to think about that.
Well, there's competitiveness, and then there's right.
But that's the thing is like again, but there's that's the thing is about being a good sportsmanship.
Yeah, good
like
sportsmanship.
That's letting go of your ego. That's like, okay. Well, I'm here to compete. And I'm here to win this medal, but not at the cost of like doing harm or you know being malicious. Yes.
But then, doesn't that excellence drive you past that?
Well, it depends. There's like instrumental aggression, which is when
like let's go to the Serena Venus and Serena Williams.
Yeah.
So if they had no ego, would they be where they are? Would they have achieved what they achieved?
Well, maybe they have a drive, right?
I'm just saying they have a drive. I'm sure they have an ego.
Well, yeah. Well, everyone has an ego, as we were saying,
but
right?
I'm but sure I know what you mean. That ego is what
they want to learn.
I want to beat you.
I want to show the skills that I have, I want to use those skills and I want to show that I'm, I can,
no, but
at
I think
that
it
particular
is
in, sport, very specific to the sport.
I mean, it is ego. It is ego.
100% and that's what I mean. We have to figure out how to control it, but it's not always bad. It doesn't, you need ego sometimes.
It can be used for good.
People have to need an ego to drive to excel in almost anything. Like Elon Musk has an ego.
I think that what I'm hearing you say is that if we if we don't use that sometimes, well, we're not going to be able to be competitive. We're not going, so
we're not going to be able to push forward. We're going to be pushing forward.
We're not going to have the drive to do things.
Well, that's why ego is important.
Yeah. So we're saying, yes, it is important, but there are times where it can be detrimental. Right.
If we, figure out when we need it and use it then, and then when we don't need it and not use it, that would be an important element if we could figure out how to control it.
Yeah. Right. So going into the holiday season, maybe we check our egos or at least acknowledge that we have one and see where, how it's affecting our life.
Acknowledge that we can learn something new. We don't know everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's like when we say leave your ego at the door. Mm-hmm. Leave you. And what we're saying is not really – don't have an ego. It's just like, okay, for now, be open-minded that you can learn something from someone else.
Well, that goes back to don't take things personally.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the four agreements.
And as soon as somebody says something to us that goes against a value, which we take it personally, or something that challenges us, we take it personally.
Yeah. Because we're thinking, well, how dare, how dare you, right? Like, how, who are you to tell me that I'm doing this wrong or that you, to have an opinion.
Well, that goes against your ego, which is then why we react.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And your values could be go against your values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah. And sometimes we attack people because we think that they're saying some, it's not really, we're not attacking what they're saying, but they're, we're attacking them, the person.
Right.
Right. It's like, okay, how can you have an opinion on this? Because you're, you know, the example we give in Curious or Defensive is like, well, how can you have an opinion on women's issues, for example, because you're a man.
Yeah, I'm a man. So I can't have, so I can't have an opinion on women's issues.
You know, or vice versa. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, so
that's called is that the ad hominem attack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we're with our families over the holidays, we have to think about that.
Yeah.
Right. To make sure that we're not attacking the person, like, that we're listening.
People can go in and then do all these things and maybe hopefully be able to have a conversation if that's what happens. But I think boundaries are also super important here because if you don't think you can have that kind of conversation and you don't think they're going to respect, you know, the rules of engagement in terms of that kind of conversation, then set a boundary. Isn't that what boundaries for? No politics talk.
Yeah,
but, I'm here to enjoy my family. That's a boundary. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
So this is my boundary.
But that's the problem is how do you, and I struggle with that one. Like, how do you, you'd have to have all these boundaries in all these areas. So now you're like, what's happened to the six principles of authenticity, of transparency, of consistency, of like, which one are you supposed to follow? And well, that's the problem.
But I can understand, though, that if you know that it's going to create an issue, it's going to create havoc, and that the you want to have the conversation, you're open to it, but the other person doesn't want to, we can't make them, right? It would be better if they did have the conversation with you, because then you can explore things, you could listen, you can practice those skills that we talk about. But if the person doesn't want to, and they decide, you know, I don't want to discuss this
because
I'm not ready.
Yeah.
So then we have to respect that. It doesn't mean that it's right. It's just that this is what
they
want.
Who has to respect it though? What, like,
everybody.
So
it's a boundary.
Well, like, okay, let's see.
So just a second. So you got 12 people in the room. One person says, I don't want to talk about it. So the other 11 people can't talk about it.
No, they can, but the other person is not included.
Or that person just won't. I guess what I'm saying, like, if it's that uncomfortable, like, again, maybe this person is trying to be a part of their family's life again. Maybe they, you know, it was toxic before and they're trying to figure themselves out so they can be a part of this again. And like, I don't know.
So again, it's finding the common ground. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I do agree that. So we don't want someone else's boundary to infringe on our lifestyle, for sure, right? But do we want to infringe of the other on the other person as well? So we have to think about that.
But
so
which one comes first? Right?
So I think every situation.
We had this conversation yesterday. We were talking about the Jack and Jill scenario where Jill came in and Jack was sitting on the couch and and
his reaction reading to her own emotion.
Jill had said something that wasn't very nice to Jack.
Right.
Right. And we were talking about that scenario. And I had said, why do you have to assume that what they're saying is an attack? Like, if they if they love you, why are we assuming it's negative? You don't have to get defensive.
Right. The tone and maybe the what was said was not okay, but it doesn't mean we can't have understanding.
And then somebody brought up, well, maybe it is an attack.
Well, that's your assumption. maybe well, this no, person
but,
is.
But maybe they, maybe it is an attack.
Okay.
And I just, and you're right. That's, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Is if I assume it's an attack, it's then an attack. If I assume it's not, but they didn't like that answer. They said, well, sometimes people are attacking you. Well, and again, sometimes people are jerks, and sometimes people are this, and sometimes people are that.
Isn't the whole, like,
and I said, okay, but then who starts?
Right.
Who starts the process of saying, you know what, I'm going to assume it's not an attack, and I'm going to react as if it's not an attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if then if they keep attacking me, that's a different problem.
Right.
But at some point, we have to stand up and go
and choose a different
action. I am going to be conscious. I am going to make this choice. And if they don't want to join in, that's their choice.
And that's setting a boundary.
Yes.
Right? Would you say?
Yeah, but it's setting the boundary if I'm not going to let them control my life.
Well, it's also just like their reaction is not a reflection of you.
That's
like,
right.
Again, so that's what I'm, that's the core principle here.
That's
it's like
right.
anything anybody else says to you in that way, it's not because they're trying to attack you. It's because something is going on inside of them that's
exactly.
not right.
Yeah.
But so, now we're getting back to the holiday scenario.
So how you choose to take it.
Now we're back in the holiday scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can't enjoy my day because I have to sit on my hands and not say things that – you know, seven other people might want to talk about, but we all have to respect.
Well, maybe the boundary. Maybe the boundary is that okay. Well, if you guys talk about politics, I'm just going to go outside. And,
well, yeah,
well, that's fine.
Yeah, right. And I think that's what we're saying.
Right?
So the person themselves, they're setting their boundaries that they don't want to talk about it. Not saying
anybody
you can't
else can talk about it.
No,
it.
But that is what they'll say.
You know, and if they say that, then that's on them.
They'll open the door to the house, and somebody will walk in and say, "Okay, no talk about these 18 subjects."
And
so now everybody's, you know, it comes on the news, it comes on this, and. And what do you do?
And that's when you have a disagreement.
But how do we agree that that?
Well, that's what again. It's so it is unfair for a boundary to be like, okay, nobody can talk about it. That's where it's really it comes down to the boundary, making sure that it's like you're taking responsibility for yours. So I know that I cannot handle this kind of conversation. I need to set a boundary. If you guys start talking about it, that's totally okay. But I'm gonna leave the room for a bit, and when you're done, I'll come back.
And that would be fine.
But that's not,
I'm going to guess a lot of people don't do that. They go, I have a boundary with it, so you guys can't do this.
Because, yes. And that's but because your people boundary, don't understand what boundaries are then, right?
Yes.
Your boundary cannot be what you can't control other people. You only control yourself.
Yes. Exactly.
So if the same way, I can handle the conversation, I will leave.
Yeah. And you can't say to people, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Or why are you so sensitive? Or, right? So
And I'm going to go back to the conversations I had last week about this subject. We sat and people, I don't know, there's 12, 15 people in. And we had a fantastic conversation for half an hour, 45 minutes. Everybody talking about both sides, getting their points in. And I think everybody left going, okay, I learned something. I don't have to change my mind, but I now see the other perspective a little differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
And that's what brings people together.
Yes. And the thing is in a way, we're kind of talking a little bit to the, I was going to say we're preaching to the choir. Not that people are completely conscious, but they're already coming to a conscious partner, which means that at least they know that there's something that they need to learn, right?
Yeah.
But in the general public, when people have not really done putting the effort to figure out that, okay, I need to grow, I need to change it. Yeah, there's no awareness and it's going to be difficult. And this is why there's going to be stress over the holidays.
This is also why I'm suggesting a boundary because the family that you're going to see may not have any idea, want to respect it.
So it's just difficult.
Set the boundary. I'm just not going to be part of it if this happens.
And if you're trying to tell them a little bit about it, right? What if you're going to your family and you're saying, oh, I'm part of this group. I'm learning a lot about myself. And now people are going to say, oh, now you're trying to impose your views on me, right? So it may not be the
right
time.
So I guess what I'm talking about is more the abstract theory of it, not necessarily the practice of it.
Yes.
But the theory is we should be conscious. Like it's tough to do what we do, talking about transparency, authenticity, recognition, where we do all this stuff and then we have to go and be inauthentic.
Yeah. And it's very, very difficult to, even though we can, again, know these things intellectually, to practice it.
Right? Oh, it's hard.
We have to check ourselves all the time.
Every day.
All the time.
Every moment.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is where you have that little, you know, voice.
But at least we check ourselves. I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
At least you're trying.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying.
Unless you're trying to be your best. And then. Always.
And we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
be your best, which is one of the four agreements as well.
Right? So is there anything else that goes wrong on the holidays? That's probably the biggest thing, isn't it? Is the
infighting. Burning the turkey.
I mean, yeah, I think that's really, yeah. I mean, again, maybe still, it might just be people like the in-laws are coming to stay for a week or something. Yes. And that's going to because I feel like that also brings up the whole not being authentic. Okay, well, now that they're here, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure everything's perfectly clean or something like that.
You're going
to
be judged by your parent on how clean the house is.
They're going to take the white glove out, right? And then criticize you for.
Yeah. But then it's like, why are you performing for them? Just be yourselves. If they don't like you,
and they're in your house, they're in your house, right?
Yeah.
There's a fine line between the respect that you have because they are your parents and then also them respecting you. And you're like, they know they're coming to your house. It's your lifestyle and they should respect that, whether they agree
or
not.
But then there's going to be a flip side to that. When you go to their house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
What happens then?
Yeah.
Well, that's their life.
It's their life. It should be the same. Right?
Yeah, but we have to make sure that if we want them to honor our life, then we have to honor their life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When we're in their house, but although it'd be nice if we could talk to each other and let's stop judging ourselves based on our lifestyles.
And then just enjoy. I mean, there's nothing worse than if something happens in the family, God forbid that there's a death in the family and now you're starting regretting, I should have spent more time, or I should have done this, or I should have done that, right?
Choosing to not be authentic and then versus saying the real thing and then something was happening
and now you want to be authentic when it's too late.
Yeah, yeah. Right. 100%.
Yeah, that's always the case. I'm doing what we regret next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reviewing it. It's just, it's really hard for people just to go through all that and understand what I should be doing, that security over experiences.
Mm-hmm. But it's easier than not doing it. I mean, doing it is hard and comes with its own challenges, but like not doing it means you're living your life. Your entire life, not the way you want to.
Right? The body at rest wants to stay at rest. The body in motion wants to stay in motion, right? So it's a lot easier not to do anything, for sure.
Life doesn't mean we're happy.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're happy, though, right? No. And then once in a while, we'll have a little bit of, maybe I would be happier if, right? Or there's something that, and then it's like, no, it's too much work.
Well, it's like the people who don't want to go dating because it's not worth it. Well, it is worth it if you do it, if you put the effort into it and learn about yourself and not be scared and go in with, I'm going to get an experience out of it, then it is worth it.
Yes. Not going in saying, I want a relationship out of it. And I think that's the mistake people make, right?
Yeah. I'm looking for a long-term relationship right out of the coffee date.
Yeah. And I just met you, but,
But let's just go for experiences. I'm going to have an experience.
Yeah. And see how this person
could be good. It's like choosing a restaurant. I mean, it's a good analogy.
No, but it is actually a good analogy. Okay, cool. Maybe try new food, but how many people go to a restaurant and they want the same food all the time? Yeah. Be adventurous a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Without compromising your
But values, even a bad experience, experience is often more valuable than a good experience.
Well, because we can actually learn something.
Because a good experience will confirm and validate what you like, but a bad experience may teach you things about yourself that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's what the lesson is.
But I can have just as much fun at a restaurant with bad food. Like I can enjoy that experience and go, holy cow. And bad food's all a relative term. It might be bad for me. It might not be bad for you.
Yeah.
And it's a decision you make on the moment, right? It's like, okay, so the food is not what I thought it was going to be. Am I going to let it ruin my entire evening with my friends? Or am I going to, let's pass, let's forget about that. And then let's have a good time, right?
Well, I mean, a few Christmases ago, we ended up going with my mom's side. We ended up going to this authentic Chinese restaurant. And we didn't really know what we were in for. We were just like, and then the menu was like, there was no English. None of the waiters really wanted to speak to us in English because, we were just the white people and
in the restaurant.
Yeah. And... we ended up just ordering the big serving
you didn't know what you were eating.
It was really gross for me and for us because we didn't know what the hell we were eating, or it was just like gelatin or like, I don't know, but it was really fun.
You just lost I think I remember you talking about that. listeners are now gone.
No, it wasn't even that it was gross. It was just because it was the first time we've ever experienced it. We had never tasted anything like that. The textures, the taste, the types of food. And it was just like, And it was fun because we got to go out and it was something we had never experienced before. Right. But it was also, but we all like the food. I mean, again,
you didn't enjoy the food, but you enjoyed the experience.
Exactly. Yeah, and, it was something new. We took a chance. Yeah. Probably won't ever do it again unless someone actually comes with us and tells us what we should actually order. But yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's the experience you get.
Yes.
And then there are times that, you know, we might go somewhere thinking that we're not going to have a good time. Then we end up having a good time because we took a chance.
Yeah.
Right? So people take chances. Mm-hmm. Yes. Live your life. Those experiences are important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how does that apply to Christmas or holidays or...
Well, I think it's, again, isn't it going in with an open mind? Like, first of all, if you make the decision to go, then go with an open mind.
Well,
don't go with all the negative expectations, right? Because you're going to find things to confirm how you feel. Mm-hmm. If you think you're going to have a bad time, you're going to every little thing that's negative, you're going to say, see, you know, it's going to confirm your biases.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, I think so. Yeah. Handling your expectations when during the holiday season, whether it be with gifts, whether it be with the family dinner, whether it be with the food you're making or whatever, like it's just the expectations that you don't have any.
Yeah. Cause we think that, oh, those, and sometimes people take time off from work. Mm-hmm. Oh, those 2 weeks are going to be the best. And then it's like, oh, I didn't really see what did I do during those 2 weeks, right? Or I'm going to do a bunch of things and you end up doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go in with realistic expectations or no expectations from other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Don't let their expectations
influence
you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be authentic to yourself.
That can be hard though.
Of course it's going to be hard.
It is. Cause we're still programmed for that, right?
Yeah. And we're all dealing with certain things. Again, if anything we've learned with ACP is that like we all have work to do. Mm-hmm. So we all have something that's getting in our way. And it's not going to be easy to do, but it's important that you try.
Yeah. And at least be aware of it, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first
step. Then the first person we run into is says that I don't have any work to do. I'm good.
That's wonderful for them.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for them. Maybe we can learn from them.
I don't have anything. You know, I'm good. Like, I'm perfectly happy with who I am.
Which means something.
I mean, that's great though.
Yeah. It's great for them. Yeah.
If that's what you are on, then that's great. I mean, my personal opinion is that nobody stops growing ever, so nobody can be...
No. It's a facade that people put when they say I'm good. They don't want to look inside.
Well, or maybe they know what they're... Or they just don't care. It's like, okay, I am this way, and this is the way I'm supposed to be.
Well, the saying is out there, ignorance is bliss, right?
Yes. Oh, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it'd be nice just to go...
But the worst thing that's... I find it's like when you're no longer ignorant because you know there's a better way and then you don't take that path.
Choice.
So now you're just like constantly in conflict with yourself because you know that you should be doing something about it, but then you're not. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's better to stay ignorant.
Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Did we cover everything?
I think we have.
I don't know where we are in time.
But we do want people to have great holidays.
Yeah, we do.
It's not all depressed. And you know,
find happy. What makes you happy?
Especially people who feel like they, you know, if they feel lonely already and now they think that it's going to be even worse during the holidays. So maybe they need to find some things to do for themselves. It could be
connect with yourself
or connect with others in terms of maybe you want to volunteer. Maybe there are things that you can find to do so that you don't feel so lonely. And
don't
also
be afraid.
Knowing that you're not alone in feeling that way.
And don't be afraid to say no. If you want to say no, I don't want to come to your house. No, I don't want to do this. If you don't want to, like, be real.
Yes.
Be honest. Yeah. It'll make your life that much easier.
Yeah, that can be a touchy subject too.
It can be touchy, but it's like, again, it's your sanity over theirs.
But if you know that's what you're going to say, don't wait till the day of to tell that to the person, right? Like, like let them know way in advance.
Yeah.
Like, prepare them.
I'm doing something different this holiday season.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about parties.
What about parties?
Going to holiday parties.
And how to act.
Well, a combination of work parties or private parties or...
Well, there haven't been. Yeah, and I think
I don't
maybe
know if that's
because
really happen.
Yeah, it probably won't happen.
I guess no, but the holiday. I think there's still holiday parties happening, like corporate corporate ones.
Yeah, there are some corporate ones.
Yeah,
there's one corporate one that.
But is that a topic of?
I don't know.
Well, I guess in terms of how people, is it how people act or react at holiday parties? I think that there's certainly some decorum in terms of how you behave when you're at a corporate one compared to with your friends. Sometimes people cross that line.
But I guess all the same things apply. Yeah, usually, I guess everything we've been talking about happens at the corporate parties and holiday parties where people get into topics of discussion that are difficult and then they get you know, you have a little bit of booze in you if you're a drinker, and then things get a little. And I guess that's what we really didn't cover either. It's one thing to sit down with people who are sober.
Yes.
And have a conversation in a completely different situation if people are drinking.
Yeah.
Is there not?
They're going to be trigger happy.
And sometimes people react differently to whatever substance they take, right? So now, so if they've been drinking, some people are just happy and you know, laughing and joking. And others can be really aggressive and confrontational.
But that's when the boundaries go out the window. Yes. You can have all these boundaries in place when you're sober, but you get three drinks in you and suddenly the boundaries will disappear.
So then you need to know yourself and know if it's going to be an issue. So
we'll make a choice. You know, your family's going to be drinking. Should you be drinking too? Or like, do you need to stay level-headed or like, I don't know.
I think that the people, I don't know, like, I like to have control of myself. So if I feel like everybody else is, that's when I don't want to. Right?
Yeah.
Unless I'm in an environment where I feel safe. But this is where I don't want to not be in control, right? Or, or have one drink too many so that now I don't.
Yeah, but two is one drink too many for you.
That's right. But then I just contemplate, you know, how how drunk I am. So it's pretty safe. But I know some people who get very loud and aggressive and when they drink. And that can be an issue, right, for them. And then the next day it's like, oh, what did I do? What did I say? And they regret that. Yeah. So how do they handle that?
You know? That's where cannabis is a great alternative solution. Just mellows you out.
Just mellows you out. And Did I see an eye roll there? Yeah. It was a mini one.
That's okay. There's cannabis drinks now. You can go get a cannabis drink, still get a buzz. Different.
Yeah. But I guess when people think, and I haven't tried it, but you could see people say, well, I don't feel the buzz yet, right? And then they take too many of it, or they drink too much of it.
And then you just go to sleep.
Eat too much of it, and you go to sleep. There you go.
Don't eat the whole brownie.
Eat the whole brownie, Wait until the effect is taken, right?
You're just supposed to eat partial of the brownie.
Small bite.
Yeah. And while we're saying all this, it's probably a good time to say don't drink and drive, don't drive under the influence, and all of those things that
make
people
proper, smart choices.
Make good choices. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's about
it. I just stay home.
You just stay home.
That's cool. That's good.
You just never leave your house.
In the boundaries of your house.
Yeah,
so there's no issues.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
There's no issues. Yes.
Yeah. I think we covered everything.
I think we covered happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
And or Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is.
All we did was depress the poor people.
No, we didn't.
No, I don't think we did.
Just, but I mean, again, we're saying be authentic. Do what you want to do. That's empowering. It's like don't you know, fall for the expectation. Don't be your performing self. Be your authentic self. Yeah. Choose what you actually want to do. Don't do what everyone else wants you to do.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy your time.
Yes. Enjoy your time. Don't put undue pressure on yourself.
Yes. Right? To be a certain way or to do
or
something.
Or to impress someone or family. Just be yourself.
Yes.
Enjoy. Have fun. Right?
Play cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play cards.
Cards
do a puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch Christmas movies.
Well, I have a puzzle on my table that I started last year.
Yeah, I never finished.
It's still there.
Puzzle, yeah.
It's like 1,000 pieces.
We could tell them our favorite, our top Christmas movie.
Oh, man. See, like, okay, Mike, what I like to watch at Christmas is not even about Christmas, but I like Die Hard.
Of course.
I don't know why. It is a Christmas movie for some reason.
Well, because the first one happens at Christmas. The first one.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I'm not into It's a Wonderful Life or.
It was Wonderful Life. I don't know if it still is.
I don't know why I'm not into that movie. Or, you know, the one where the kid get this BB gun and he, what's it called again?
I mean, Home Alone?
A Christmas Story? No, I think it's called A Christmas Story or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyways, you know, you're going to take an eye out. That's all I remember. The line I remember from this movie.
How about
it's
Elf?
An old movie.
I enjoy Elf.
Yeah,
I love you. That's him standing in the office telling his dad how much he loves him. It's just
but
such a good
movie. Movies that I don't like, and I'm sorry, well, maybe I should name the brand, but it's like, you know, those Christmas movies where it's like
the
very
Hallmark
sappy.
Specials.
Well, there you go.
She says, I won't mention the brand. She jumps out with the brand.
But it's
cheesy for me. Yeah.
Although,
those are the ones, though, that give us a false impression
of what life should be like.
Yeah,
because we know how it's going to end. It's all about feel-good movies. And it's like, that's not real life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not real
life. Well, no, that's why then our experience sucks, is because we want it to be that, which isn't real.
Not,
And it's not that.
Yeah. I like the movies where, you know, you've got the family dynamic and everybody comes in and then they have those big discussions and then you discover something about the characters and, you know, it's not perfect. I like
those movies. That one? The Chevy Chase one?
Oh, that's a great one. The freaking National Lampoon.
National Lampoon.
Is that one?
National Lampoon.
Well, Christmas vacation, I guess. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. He has all the lights on. And
yeah, and he like, yeah, that's a great one.
He didn't get his Christmas bonus.
There was one with, I think it was with Sandra Bullock. I can't remember, but it was about, and there's all kinds of different layers to the characters. It's around Thanksgiving, I think it happens, or Christmas, but all kinds of different things.
Oh, what's that one? I really like that. The four stories to it. There's a couple that goes to England.
Love Actually?
Love Actually.
Love Actually is a great movie. And the soundtrack is
wonderful. Yeah, soundtrack is good in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Love Actually is great.
Yeah.
All the
yeah, movies like that, I like
no,
that.
No, I'm a young person. You Love like Actually that movie? Is great. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I watch it.
Well, that's more realistic, though,
it's
isn't it?
It's more realistic.
Because they're having some of the couples struggle and some of the couples have. Yeah, there's things going on.
And the look on, what's her name? Is it Emma Thompson? Yes. When she finds out that her husband, he bought this.
The
ring.
It's just ruined the movie for all the people that haven't seen it.
They've seen it.
Ruined the movie.
It's been around forever. If you haven't seen it, then it's fine. Yes. It's fine. You'll figure it out.
But go check it out.
It's a good movie. So, yeah, yes. Christmas movies are great.
Yeah, Love Actually, I think it'd probably be one that would be a more realistic relationship.
Because there's actually dynamics there, ones that you were not necessarily expecting.
Yeah, I like that. I don't like the cookie cutter Hallmark, since we've said it, movie where it's all
everything's perfect.
Yeah, everything is perfect.
Or that's the stereotypical music, miscommunication.
The Christmas tree is perfect.
Coming back together.
Yeah, it's like no.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay.
Cool. So, well, yeah. Happy holidays. This will obviously come out before.
Yeah, this will come out
the holidays. Yeah. But we want you to have it. So, if you want to follow us on all of our socials, A Conscious Partner, ACP Dr. Giselle and ACP Jaggy. Check out the website at consciouspartner.com. Rate, review, subscribe on any platform that you're listening to this on. Tell your friends.
We'd really like to do a write-in where people, maybe we should have something on the website where people can ask questions.
Yeah, ask questions. Yeah, and then
just
we'll
have like a bar where they can just like.
Yeah, click something and ask a question just so that I'll maybe set that up on the website so that it'd be nice to answer questions from real people.
This is our second last episode, so the one you're going to listen to next for this season. The next episode will be our last one, and then we'll be starting a new season in the new year.
Yes, 2022. That sounds like futuristic, right?
It is.
2022.
But yeah, thanks for coming. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.